Everyone, it is so great to see everyone, and welcome to part two of our class on a Torah take on Jewish self-help books. It is great to have you here this evening. I want to thank you all for joining me, and I want to share with you something that I feel very passionately about, and that is a book that I was gifted this year. It's called Mindset by Carol Dweck. Now, in all honesty, this book is a book that I've quoted in Shirim, I've quoted in Drushas, I've spoken to it about with my children countless times because they use it in their curriculum at Cats Hill Day School. But to be honest, I'd never really read the book. And although I was familiar with so many of the ideas and I assumed I knew them, I had never really read the book until someone gifted it to me earlier this year. And over COVID, as I was ravenously going through many books in my library, I came across this book. I said, you know what? It's about time that I actually began to read it. And I have to tell you, and I do not say this as a hyperbole, this was, out of so many, many books that I, Baruch Hashem, am able to read, this was arguably one of the most profound and had the most significant impact on the way that I think about my own life, the way I think about my spiritual growth, the way I think about my children. And so, I'm going to give you a little bit of an overview tonight. I'm going to share some divrei Torah that just show how every single idea that's found in this book is also found in the Torah. But I'm also going to give you some homework, which is that if the ideas speak to you, I beg of you and I plead with you, go out, get the book and read it. I promise you, there are very few books, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, How to Win Friends and Influence People. There are few books that fundamentally changed the way I think and fundamentally changed the way that I view the world. This is one of those books. It gave me profound insight into myself, into my family, into my relationship with my children. In fact, I told my wife that whatever she's reading, she has to stop it because this is the singularly most important book that I've read in a very long time. And so I encourage everyone to read it. Hopefully I'll give you a little bit of an insight into it tonight, but I'm very excited. So even if you may have heard of some of the ideas and you might say to yourself, mindset, I know about mindset. I thought I did also. And then every page, I would turn the page and there would be another really, really just delicious, rich piece of information that would be a total paradigm shift in how I view myself, my children, my professional life, etc. So I want to jump right in and I'm going to share with you my screen here. And we are going to look at my PowerPoint presentation. I hope it works properly here. Let's see if I could play it here. Okay, there we go. So I'm going to show you my PowerPoint. We'll do it this way. It won't be as fancy. But of course, this is a Torah's take on mindset. We're not just reading self-help books here, but we are sharing how the self-help books are directly correlated to our sacred Torah. And that's hopefully what I want to share with you this evening. I'll just share as another point of introduction. I cannot think of a single more important book in the entire corpus of self-help books, which are more equipped to prepare us for the Yamim Noraim than this book. Okay? This book, to me, summarizes more than anything else. Give me a thumbs up if you can see my screen right now. Okay, good. This book, more than any other book that I've ever come across, is the greatest preparation. And again, I hope you enjoyed as much as I did. So what is mindset? Mindset is the basic idea, which says that your mindset, the way you approach something, the attitude with which you approach it, is directly correlated to how successful you will be. And so, is my sound not on? Hold on. Okay. And here we go. So Carol Dweck writes in the introduction, for 20 years, my research has shown that the view you adopt of yourself profoundly affects the way that you lead your life. In other words, simple changes in our vocabulary, in the way that we view ourselves, that can change your life. It can determine whether you become the person you want to be and whether you can accomplish the things that you value. Who doesn't fit under that category? How does it happen? How can a simple belief have the power to transform your psychology and as a result, your life? The answer is believing that your qualities are carved in stone. The fixed mindset creates an urgency to prove yourself over and over. A fixed mindset basically says that the way that I was born, that's the way that I am. That I have a certain amount of intelligence, that I have a certain personality, I have a certain moral character. And if that's the case, argues Carol Dweck, then you'd better prove that you have a healthy dose of them. In other words, if my intelligence is fixed, if my capabilities are fixed, well, then I have to prove to you just how capable I am, because it means that what you see is what you get. And there ain't going to be any improvement in Philip Moskowitz over the years. She writes, I've seen so many people with this one consuming goal of proving themselves in the classroom, in their careers, and in their relationships. Every single situation calls for a confirmation of their intelligence, their personality, or their character. Every situation is evaluated. Will I succeed or I fail? Don't forget, if I have a finite amount of talent, then failure is now descriptive of my talent. I have failed in my talent. Will I look smart or dumb? This is a big thing that she speaks about a lot. If my intelligence is fixed, then if I get the question wrong when I raise my hand, what does that make me? That makes me look stupid. Will I be rejected or accepted? Will I feel like a winner or a loser? Those are all traits of a fixed mindset. If you have a fixed mindset, you believe that everything is finite, that who I am is set in stone, that there is a permanence to my qualities, and therefore failure is catastrophic because it is descriptive of not just that incident, but of who I am. If I get questions wrong, then it is now describing me as dumb or unintelligent. So that is all the qualities of a fixed mindset. What about a growth mindset? So the growth mindset, she says, is a completely different paradigm shift. In this mindset, the hand you are dealt is just the starting point for development. In other words, you and I obviously all have proclivities for a certain set of traits and a certain set of qualities. But that is the baseline, not the ceiling for who you and I can become. The greatest analogy I can give you is an analogy of a gym. Analogy of a gym. No one would ever go to a gym and say that the body that I have now, the muscles that I have now, are set in stone. And that no matter how many weights I lift and no matter how much I exercise, I'm simply never going to progress in my muscle buildup. That's absurd. No one would ever argue that. When it comes to our muscles, we say the opposite. We say, I'm going to go to the gym, and I recognize that if I lift weights every single day, that if I do push-ups and pull-ups, that if I go running, there's going to be a transformation in my muscles. The growth mindset says that our qualities, our characteristics, our intelligence are a muscle, no different than my biceps and no different than my quads. It's a muscle that if I exercise it, that if I work at it, then I can actually grow it and build it and become stronger and stronger in those qualities. And therefore, she says, this growth mindset is based on the belief that your basic qualities are the things that you can cultivate through your efforts, right? They're not set in stone. It's not, this is who I am and this is who I'm destined to be. No, that's the baseline. And it challenges me to put in the effort, no different than the analogy of the gym, to say that yes, if I go to the gym consistently and I put in the effort and I lift the weights, then my muscles are going to grow and I'm going to become stronger. That's applicable to every other attitude, every other talent, interest, temperament. Everyone can change in growth through application and experience. And I hope even this very short introduction of an overview of mindset, you come to realize just how central this is to Rosh Hashanah, to the Yom Noraim. Because someone with a fixed mindset is going to come into Rosh Hashanah and Elul and say, yeah, you know what? I have a proclivity for anger. You know what? I'm not the guy who goes to shul. I don't have such a great mind, so I can't be the guy to learn, right? You view yourself as if that is who you are destined to be. The growth mindset says, you know what? I can always grow. I can always learn. And if I ask a question and if I fail, I'm not threatened by that, but I look at them and I view them as opportunities for growth. She writes, do people with this mindset believe that anyone can be anything? That anyone with proper motivation or education can become Einstein or Beethoven? No, right? I can't be Beethoven no matter how hard I try. But they do believe that a person's true potential is unknown or unknowable, that it's impossible to foresee what can be accomplished with years of passion, toil, and training. That is the definition of a growth mindset. Not that this is who I am, but that my potential is unknown, and if I work hard enough and I put in the effort, I can unveil aspects of who I am that I never thought was ever possible. I'll share with you personally. I experienced that this year. When last year I was debating whether to run the Boston Marathon or not, and I was talking to a friend of mine, and I told the friend, I'm not a marathon runner. No matter how hard I try, I'm not going to be the guy who can run a marathon. And the person laughed in my face and offered me a challenge and said, I don't believe you. They said, maybe you haven't tried hard enough. Maybe you haven't put in the effort required, but of course you can run a marathon. And while I wasn't able to fulfill that because of COVID, the truth is I was running up to 20 miles, something I never thought was possible, all because I put in the effort. I went through the steps that was required of me. I got a coach and I got a training regimen and I did it with consistency and I took care of the rest of my body, right? All of that is that notion of the growth mindset. I had a fixed mindset originally. I said, you know what? This isn't who I am. I wasn't born with a runner's body. I wasn't born with the capability. And that person challenged me. They said, Moskowitz, change your mindset. And that was the one shift, the one difference that made all the difference in the world. Next is five differentiations I would share between the fixed mindset and the growth mindset. Number one is when it comes to skills, my capabilities, my capacity. Someone with a fixed mindset says, you're born with, right? You're either born a runner or you're not born a runner. You're either born with someone who's going to do well in school or you're not born with someone who's going to do, right? A growth mindset says no, that with hard work, with effort, with perseverance, of course I can improve. Of course I can get better. How do I view challenges? Someone with a fixed mindset is petrified of challenges. They encounter difficulties and they panic because they're nervous that if they don't succeed in those challenges, it's going to reveal their lack of skill. It's gonna give up the game. It's gonna show everyone, it's gonna show the teachers, it's gonna show their teammates that they're really not as good as everyone thought they were. They're putting up an image, and they have this image that I have to be a certain way, and any failure or any challenges is so destructive to that image, it's so threatening to that image that they run away from it. They don't want challenges. On the other hand, someone with a growth mindset love challenges. They view challenges and failure as an opportunity to grow, as an opportunity to be more persistent, to challenge yourself, to embrace those challenges as opportunities for growth. Effort. Someone with a fixed mindset has no interest in putting in effort, right? Because that's only something that people do when they're not good enough. So for example, one of the examples she gives in the book is that what about a student with a fixed mindset? So when they come to a class that's challenging for them, you know what they do? That's the kid in the back of the class that says, I don't need to do this. This class isn't fun anyways. I don't like this class. Now, why do they say that? They say that because if they don't put in the effort, what can't they do also? They can't fail. And so they just poo-poo the entire class. Someone with a growth mindset says, I'm not scared of effort. I recognize that all of the greats, the way, the path to their success is specifically through the effort that they put in. Feedback. Someone with a fixed mindset is scared of feedback. They get very defensive because let's say I come to you and I offer you feedback. What am I essentially telling you? I'm telling you you're not good enough. I'm telling you you're a failure. That's what someone with a fixed mindset hears. Someone with a growth mindset loves feedback. They recognize it as something that they can grow from. They recognize it as an opportunity for improvement. And last but not least, what about setbacks or failure? The fixed mindset blames other people. They get discouraged by it. Someone with a growth mindset is not afraid of failure. They're not afraid of setbacks. They simply pick themselves off the mat and they try again. If there is any image that to me summarizes the Yom Narayim, that summarizes Elul and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and the season of change, it is these images. It's the recognition that we are not fixed products, that we are not set in stone. And no matter what challenges we face, no matter what failures we've had over the last year, don't let that deter you, but view those as learning opportunities. View those as opportunities to growth and to bounce back even stronger. That is the differentiation between someone with a fixed mindset and someone with a growth mindset. This is another image that I came across that I thought was very powerful, right? A growth mindset says that I can get smarter. It means that I'm not fixed, Sade. I'm not fixed in who I am. And by the way, the beauty of this is it applies to all levels, all ages. You can be 20 years old and the notion of a fixed mindset or the gross mindset can apply to you. You can be 90 years old. And we all know people, whether they're in their 70s, their 80s, their 50s, their 40s, who have a growth mindset. And even at the age of 90, they're still challenging themselves. They're still learning. They're still seeking opportunities for growth. And people with a fixed mindset, I simply aren't interested in challenging you. But it all comes back to what's your goal? Is your goal to look perfect? Is your goal to put on a facade that everyone will see you and think a certain thing? Or is your goal to learn? Is your goal to educate yourself? Is your goal to improve? And therefore, if those are your goals, you're not scared to put in effort. You're not afraid of failure, because if you fail, who cares? The whole goal, the whole purpose here is to simply challenge yourself and to grow from those experiences. Another aspect of the growth mindset is not simply focusing on your strengths, but also focusing on your weaknesses, right? Someone with a fixed mindset is scared to display their deficiencies because that shows that there's something wrong with them. Someone with a growth mindset, why would I hide my deficiencies? Why would I hide what I'm not good at? The whole goal is to grow. The whole goal is to improve. So why wouldn't I look for people and situations that challenge my growth? She says here in the book, why waste time proving over and over how great you are when you can be getting better? Why hide deficiencies instead of overcoming them? Why look for friends or partners who will shore up your self-esteem instead of ones who will also challenge you to grow? If you remember a couple of years ago when Doris Kearns Goodwin came out with the book about Lincoln, right? Team of rivals. That was the greatness of the book. The greatness of Abraham Lincoln was he specifically surrounded himself with people who disagreed with him. And Lincoln was humble enough and growth-oriented enough to realize that those people weren't a threat to him, but rather that they would allow him to grow. They would make him stronger. They would actually cause him to improve over time. And why seek out the tried and true instead of experiences that will stretch you? The passion of stretching yourself and sticking to it, even or especially when it's not going well, is the hallmark of a growth mindset. Don't simply stay in your comfort zone. Don't always do what is comfortable for you, what is natural for you, but challenge yourself. Try new things. Push yourself out of that comfort zone. If you fail, you fail. And at best, you'll grow from the situation. This is the mindset that allows people to thrive during some of the most challenging times in their lives. And I'll give you a great Torah source for this that for me is very powerful. Rav Tzadok of Lublin writes, Kol echad yada shekamo sheyitro tokvo biyoser, hu kli muchan la'osan dvarim biyoser leos nikim v'zakim etzlo. Rav Tzadok says essentially that your weakness is your calling. That the thing that you and I struggle with the most is actually the area that Hashem wants us to work on the most. That is my calling in life. And so don't always run to the things that are natural to you. Don't always run to the things that come easily to you, because then you'll simply remain stagnant. You'll never grow. You'll never challenge yourself. Says Rav Tzadok of Lublin that you want to know what your real tafkid in this world is? You want to know where Hashem wants you to put your effort? Hashem wants you to take something that you're really bad at, push yourself, work hard at it, do it with consistency, seek improvement. That is what Hashem wants from you. And therefore he says, Ki kol echa nivra, Latikun Eza Davar Prati. Every one of us were created not just to do what's easy for us, but to actually fix a specific thing. Not just anything, but fix something that does not come easily to us. That is the comment of Rav Tzadok Lublin. It's a growth mindset, right? A fixed mindset would say, why would I worry about my weaknesses? Why would I subject myself to the risk of failure? Why don't I just always stay in my little comfort zone my entire life? No, says Rav Tzadok. No, says growth mindset. Seek to grow. Challenge yourself. Don't view your weaknesses as something to run away from, but embrace your weaknesses. Embrace things that don't come so naturally for you, because specifically there is going to be your greatest opportunities for growth. I'll share with you from her book a couple of examples of mindset in different categories, just so you can get a sense of just how relevant and applicable this is and why I shared, and again, it really wasn't hyperbole. Why this book, more than any other book, was a paradigm shift in my entire way of thinking, changed the way I view myself. Honestly, it was very introspective for me about how I viewed school as a child, how I view challenges, how I view failure, how I view adversity, right? So I want to show you how it applies to all different areas. First of all, in sports. A growth mindset in sports defines success in a very different way than a fixed mindset. She writes here, those with a growth mindset found, this is a quote, sorry, from Jackie Joyner Kersee. Those with a growth mindset found success in doing their best, in learning and improving. Notice, it is not about winning. It is not about getting the best score. They found success in doing their best, in improving. Jackie Joyner Kersee, of course, the great runner, once wrote, for me, the joy of athletics has never resided in winning. Think about that. Someone at her level of competition was never about winning. I derive just as much happiness from the process as from the results. I don't mind losing as long as I see improvement or feel I've done as well as I possibly could. If I lose, I go back to the track and work some more. That is a growth mindset. A fixed mindset person would say, right, that I have to win. And if I don't win, then what was the purpose in trying? And now I'm a failure and I'm not good enough. No, she said, it's not about winning. It's about improving. And when I fail, when I didn't win, so what do? I don't shy away in the corner. I do the opposite, which is that I work even harder going forward. How do they view failures? This is obviously a very famous quote from Michael Jordan, where he writes, I've lost about 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed. Right? Michael Jordan wasn't afraid of failure. He wasn't afraid of missing that last shot, but it's specifically because he wasn't afraid of failure that it allowed him to succeed in the long term. And lastly, maintaining success. Tiger Woods says, I love working on shots, carving them this way and that, and proving to myself that I can hit certain shots on command. In other words, for Tiger Woods, it wasn't just hitting the top and then cruising. They were always pushing themselves. Even people at the level of Tiger Woods and Michael Jordan and Jackie Joyner Kersee and all the greats, they were always working on their craft. They were never as scared of the hard work that was required and the effort that was required to be put into it. They simply weren't scared to put in the effort to maintain the success. And lastly, I have a quote from the famous coach, UCLA, John Wooden, who said, you have to apply yourself each and every day to becoming a little bit better. By the way, if you want a quote to summarize Elul, this is your quote. By applying yourself to the task of becoming a little better each and every day over a period of time, you will become a lot better. That's Elul. Elul is 30 days. Hashem doesn't say you have to change overnight. Hashem says you have to be a little bit better each and every day. And if every night you can go to bed saying, I was a little bit better than I was yesterday, you will look back at yourself over a long period of time and say, I didn't just get a little bit better, but I actually got a lot better. He writes, did I win? Did I lose? Those are the wrong questions. The correct question is, did I make my best effort? If so, you may be outscored, but you will never lose. Again, that's the famous great coach, John Wooden. You'll notice the similarity between all of them. That when the question for them wasn't win or lose, they ended up more successful over the long run. When their entire goal was learning and growing and improving, they actually succeeded more than those whose sole goal was simply to win the game. That is a growth mindset. What about growth mindset in business? So I have here six characteristics of the growth mindset in business. Number one is to be humble, right? That's the Andrew Carnegie. You can read the quote there. That's the Abraham Lincoln. In other words, don't be afraid to surround yourself with great people. Don't view that as a threat, but rather view that as an opportunity for greatness, right? What about skills? Here's a great focus on people's capacity and not their pedigree. In other words, don't view people as how they were born. View people in what the ceiling for them is, not what the floor for them is. Jack Welch, who's in her book, at least the one of the great paradigms of a growth mindset, of course, the famous CEO of GE, he wrote, eventually I learned that I was really looking for people who were filled with passion and a desire to get things done. A resume didn't tell me as much as that inner hunger. In other words, he didn't care where you went to college. He didn't care what you got in your SATs. Right? What did he care about? Did you have that inner drive? Were you willing to learn? Were you willing to grow? Were you willing to improve? In business, do you create an environment in an organization or a business that values learning and perseverance, not just how smart you are? He gives the example of a CEO who only focused on how smart his employees were. And what happens is number four, which is people are adverse to risk and failure. If I'm judged by how smart I am, then I don't want to do anything to make me look stupid. On the other hand, if I have a growth mindset, then I'm okay with risk and failure because those are simple minor setbacks. Think about the greats of Steve Jobs, all of the biographies. There's a great biography, Walter Isaacson. The whole biography is about how Jobs wasn't scared of failure and Jobs wasn't scared to take risks, right? That is the symbol. That is the characteristic of someone with a great growth mindset. Lastly, take responsibility, right? He has here a quote, but rather than taking up the challenge and delivering better cars, Lee Iacocca, murdered in his fixed mindset, delivered blame and excuses. He went on the rampage, spewing angry diatribes against the Japanese. In other words, do you take responsibility? Something bad happens. Do you take responsibility and say, okay, we hit a bump in the road. That's a learning opportunity. Let's go forward. Or to use it as an opportunity to blame other people. And of course, lastly, we already referenced this, the notion of feedback. What about growth mindsets and relationships? I found this very powerful, both in the way I counsel people and in my own personal relationships. Someone with a growth mindset approaches a relationship, whether it's a marriage, whether it's a friendship, as what I will call the fairy tale assumption, right? Picture Reuven and Sarah getting married. And Reuven and Sarah get married, they believe it was destined. They were meant to be. All of a sudden, what happens? They get in their first fight. Or Sarah sees that Reuven leaves the toilet seat up. Or whatever the case might be, and she realizes he's not as perfect as she once thought he is. What does she now say to herself? She starts to panic. She says, wait a second. This is the guy that I married. This guy isn't as perfect as I thought he was. This guy is lo mutzlach. He's not as successful as I thought he was. That is all indicative of a fixed mindset. If you train people in a relationship to approach it as a growth mindset, to realize that no relationship is perfect, that every relationship requires a significant amount of dedication and effort and commitment, that problems that arise in the relationship aren't catastrophic, but rather they're simply opportunities for growth and for dialogue, vehicles, as she writes here, for developing greater understanding and intimacy, that when something does go wrong, you don't blame each other, right? Who's good, who's bad, who's right, who's wrong, but rather you face the issue head on. You have discussions with each other. You have conversations with each other. And lastly, are you scared of change in a relationship? Or do you embrace those changes? I found certainly your chapter on relationships to be very powerful as well. And lastly, and again, I think this is where it's been used most prominently, and that is when it comes to teachers and parents, right? How do we speak to our children? How do we speak to our grandchildren? How do we speak to our students? Do I tell children that I'm good at this or this is too hard? Or do I use language that says, this might take effort, but I'm going to put in that effort, right? Do you tell children that they're very smart? Ah, you're so smart. You're such a naturally gifted person. Or do you say, wow, you must have put in a lot of effort to make that beautiful picture? It's about how we praise our children. Do we praise them for taking risks, for persevering, put in an effort? Or do we praise them for being intelligent? How many times have you heard a parent say to a child, oh, you're really smart. You're really naturally good at this. Says Carol Dweck, that's a fixed mindset mentality. Because then you simply reinforce to the child that there's an inborn set of skills. We want to do the opposite. We want to reward children for the effort that they put in. We want to reward children for the discipline and for the commitment and for not being scared of failure. Right? And that's why she says here, grades, we want to help children understand that the goal of education is not getting a good grade. The goal of education is learning. And if children place too much effort on grades, so what happens? Then A, they might cheat. They might cut corners, do whatever it takes to get the good grade. They might be averse to trying, only taking easy classes. The goal of education is not grades. The goal of education is learning. It's why so many of us learned better outside of school than inside of school. Because inside school, we were trapped by grades. Outside of school, we were able to just enjoy learning and enjoy the thrill of learning. And lastly, real life examples. She encourages us to give our children examples of people who face challenges, failure, and were able to overcome those challenges and failures. It's why I love reading biographies. I read biographies because I learn so much about a person, not from their successes, but I learn so much about a person because of their failures. That is all the growth mindset in action. And this I thought it was such a powerful image of praise. Right? When you praise children for their effort, for the effort that they put in, over the long haul, look how much more willing they were to solve a number of problems. In other words, to put in the effort, to try things, even if it meant failure. On the other hand, when you praise children for their intelligence, oh, you're so smart, you're so good at art, you're so naturally good at computers, what ends up happening over time is students are less inclined to try. Because A, they're smart. You already told them they're smart. So what's the purpose of trying? The only end result of trying might be failure. So why bother trying at all? After all, you think I'm smart to begin with. On the other hand, if I praise you for your effort, if I praise you for your ability to put in the hard work necessary, so now there's a thrill in that. I'm willing to try. Okay, up until now, hopefully I've summarized a little bit of the book, and I've shown you how this notion of a fixed mindset through a gross mindset is really the foundation upon which Elul is built. All of Elul, all of change, requires a prerequisite to it, is you and I coming into this time period with a growth mindset, saying that whoever I was does not have to be who I'm going to be going forward, that I can change, that with perseverance and with effort, I can change, that if I'm not afraid of failure and I'm not afraid of setbacks, so I can ultimately improve, that I'm not a finished product, that no matter what my age, no matter what my stage of life, I can continue to improve, I can continue to grow. I don't know about you, but from my perspective, that is the foundation upon which all of Elul is built. It's what the Torah wants us to understand when it built into the world this notion of tshuva, this notion of repentance, which is predicated on this idea of growth mindset, that you and I have the ability to grow. And I want to share some Torah sources that I've come across, which I think shows this in a beautiful way. The number one is a Chidah. Chaim Yosef David Azulai writes the most magnificent idea really I've ever seen on last week's Parsha. I want to thank my dear friend, Rabbi Aaron Feigenbaum, for showing me this source. And he points out the Chidah the following, that when it comes to the brachos, the blessings that were stipulated in last week's Parsha, Torah tells us that if we do everything right, v'hayisa rak lamala, that you will go up. In other words, you'll achieve a level of success. On the other hand, when it came to the klalos, when it came to the curses, and describing the success of our enemies, the Torah says, v'hager ashir b'kirbecha yale male male. Our enemies, when they succeed, aren't just going to go up. They're going to go up really, really high. Ask the Chidah, I don't understand. When it comes to the Jewish people, when we do the right thing, Hashem just says, v'yisa rak lamala, you're just going to go up a little bit. But when it comes to our enemies, they're not just going to go up a little bit, but they're going to be yale, male, male. They're going to go really, really high. That doesn't make sense at all, says the Chidah. Answers the Chidah something magnificent. That the greatest impediment to growth is feeling too successful. The greatest impediment to growth is feeling that I've arrived, that I've achieved, that I've reached the pinnacle, and that I've nowhere else to grow. That is not a blessing. That is actually a curse. When you feel you are so successful, when you feel that you've already accomplished so much, so you stop putting in effort and you stop trying. That, says the Chidah, is the greatest curse in the world. And so therefore, when it comes to our enemies, the Torah says, yeah, they're going to go yale male male. They're going to go really high. But that's going to be the cap. That's going to be the ceiling on what they accomplish, because once a person thinks of themselves in such high terms, they simply stop trying. They're afraid of failure. They're not pushing themselves anymore. There's no ambition anymore. But you, the Jewish people, Hashem says, I'm going to give you a bracha. V'hayisa rak lamala. I'm just going to let you go up a little bit. I'm going to give you a little taste of what that success looks like. And then I'm going to give you the capacity to grow even more. I'm going to give you the capacity to push yourself and to work even harder and to apply these principles of growth mindset, so that in the end, even though I've only elevated you a little bit, you will be able to elevate yourself astronomically, where there's no cap and when there's no ceiling on what it is that you're capable of. And so for the Jewish people, it's just v'hayisa rak lamala. Hashem just elevates us a little bit because he wants to encourage us to push ourselves even more to higher and higher and higher grades, limitless heights. But for our enemies, yala, mala, mala, Hashem's going to lift them up so much that they're simply going to stop trying. They're going to be so enamored by their own success that wherever Hashem puts them is actually going to be their ceiling, not like us, where that is going to be the floor for further growth. I saw that. I thought it was such a beautiful idea, and it's exactly a growth mindset. It's Hashem essentially saying to us, I want you to continue growing. I want you to continue striving. I never want you to see yourself as a finished product, but always looking for opportunities to grow. We have here a pasuk in Mishle. Ki sheva yipol tzadik v'kam urishaim yikashlu bar'ah. 7 times the righteous man is going to fall and get up, while the wicked is going to be trapped by one misfortune. In other words, someone unsuccessful, a fixed mindset person, encounters failure, encounters setback, encounters adversity, and they run for the hills. One trip up, and they're completely shot. On the other hand, ki sheva yipol tzadik v'kam, The tzaddik falls seven times, as you see here from Yoda, the greatest teacher is failure. What does that mean? Ki sheva yipol tzaddik akam. So the pre-tzaddik Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin writes that it's not just that the tzaddik falls seven times and he gets up. No, it's what makes him a tzaddik is that he fell, and through his failures, he used them to propel him to either greater heights. Says Rav Tzadok, this is that through the act of failing, that is the reason that one rises. In other words, it's not just he was a tzaddik. Sheva yipol tzaddik, he was a tzaddik, he fell and he got up. No, it's what makes him a tzaddik. What made this person into a tzaddik? What made this person into a tzaddik is that despite the fact that he fell, he got up nonetheless. This is the language of Chazal, that downward motion for the sake of upward motion, that through the descent, one can reach even a greater height. That don't be deterred by your failures and your setbacks, but use them as opportunities for further growth and for further inspiration. This is described in a very famous letter by Rav Yitzchak Hüttner, where he was written a letter by a student who was discouraged, a student who felt that he was reading all these gedolim, he was looking at these great Torah giants, and he said to himself, I can never become like them. I'm never going to become the Chafetz Chaim, and I'm never going to become Rav Hüttner, and I'm never going to become Rabbi Soloveitchik. I'm never going to become these people. Hüttner wrote back the following very famous letter. He writes, it is a terrible problem that we discuss the greatness of our gedolim. We discuss only with the end of their stories. We tell about their perfection, but we omit any mention of the inner battles which raged in their souls. The impression one gets is that they were created in their full stature. For example, everyone is impressed with the purity of the Chafetz Chaim speech. However, who knows about all the wars, the battles, the impediments, the downfalls, and the retreats that the Chafetz Chaim experienced in his fight with the evil inclination? In other words, don't think he was born the Chafetz Chaim. He made himself into the Chafetz Chaim. Don't think Michael Jordan was born Michael Jordan. He made himself into Michael Jordan. Don't think Jack Welch was the brilliant CEO. He was born that way. No, he developed those characteristics. He worked hard at himself. He was not afraid to put in effort. He was not afraid of failure. He was not afraid of feedback. Those are the characteristics of a growth mindset. That's what makes great people great, says Rav Hüttner. It's not that they were born great. That's a fixed mindset. It's that they had a growth mindset. They made themselves into great people. Says Rav Hüttner at the end, quoting our pasuk in Mishlei, Ki sheva yipol tzaddik v'kam, that the righteous person will fall seven times and will arise. He writes, the unlearned, and I'll just explain here, the growth mindset person, think that this means, even though a tzaddik falls seven times, he'll rise. The wise man, and here we'll say the growth mindset person, knows well that the meaning is that because a tzaddik fell seven times, he will rise. In other words, don't picture yourself that a gadol and a zeitzer ha-tov are one and the same. Rather, imagine that the gadolim are at war with all types of base tendencies. In other words, what makes gadolim, what makes our Torah giants giants, is not that they were born that way. Run away from the biographies that describe that this person knew all shas by the age of three and that he never got angry. It's not true. What made them great was that even when they fell, they picked themselves back up. They were not discouraged by failure. They were not discouraged by adversity and setbacks, but they looked at them as opportunities for growth and opportunities to get just a little bit better. There's this great image I posted on Facebook a little while ago, but it's called the iceberg illusion. Sometimes you and I only see the iceberg. We see the success of someone, but what we fail to appreciate is all the work, the dedication, the discipline, the hours, the failure, the sacrifice, the disappointment, the persistence, the setbacks. We don't realize what goes into making the top of the iceberg, what goes into making the success. I think of this in terms of running because for me, this is really where I applied this. But you see marathon people running. You see someone run a marathon, a personal best. You don't realize how much sweat and tears went into that. How many 5 a.m. mornings went into that. Right? All of the work and effort, you just see the person running. You don't realize the months and years of effort that go into it. That's the iceberg illusion. We can never think that people were born up here. No, no, no. People put in all the effort and work down here, which makes the success at the top. I'll share with you a beautiful insight I saw from Rav Druckman on the shofar blowing of Rosh Hashanah. Every shofar blow that we're going to read on Rosh Hashanah starts with a tekiah, has a broken sound in the middle, and ends with a tekiah. Says Rav Druckman that that is symbolic of our experiences in life. that every experience you and I have life starts as a tekiya. It's pure, it's unbroken, it's blissful. And then what happens? We hit the bumps in the road along the way, the shvarims and the truas, the broken sounds, the difficulties of life, the adversity and the setbacks. But if we're willing to overcome those, if we're willing to push through with a growth mindset and to not be deterred from by those, but to view them as opportunities from growth, what do we ultimately end up with? With a tekiya gedola. We end up even greater, purer, and stronger than we started out with. It's a beautiful insight into the shofar blowing. I want you to think about that during the shofar blows. Tekiya is the idyllic image that we have at the beginning. The shvarim in the trua is the reality, which is that our path is not always smooth. It's broken. There are bumps along the way. There's adversities, there are challenges, and there are setbacks. But says the Torah, says Hashem, that what ultimately defines us is our ability to bounce back. And if we do so, we're not just going to blow a tekiya at the end, but we're going to blow a tekiya gedola. Rav Yisrael Salanter points out that we shouldn't just cruise through life. Growth mindset, we're here to work. He says, ki adam la'amel yulad, a person is here in this world to work. Lilchom, milchemes mitzvah, to fight for what we want. V'achova lovli se'agei b'yavodas Hashem, we have to work hard for it. In other words, don't think it's going to come easy. Lo rak lishmor masha tivo manicho me'atzmo. Don't just do what comes naturally to you. Don't just do what's easy. If you think about the Rav Tzadok that we learned earlier, umashu k'tas kibirus lazniach, right? He says, rak hateva osa shala. That's just doing naturally. What should you do? You should dafka challenge yourselves. You should have to put in the work. You have to put in the effort. That's how you're going to ultimately grow. That's how you're going to become better. The Kli Yakar is a beautiful Kli Yakar, right? Why is Torah so hard? Why is Torah, right? Where was Torah given? Torah was given at Mara. It was given bitterness. Why is the Torah referred to as bitterness? So he quotes the Medrash, Laman Himshala Torah Lezayis. Ma Zayis, just as an olive is bitter at the beginning and sweet at the end, so too Torah is bitter at the beginning and sweet in the end. Notice, why wasn't Torah easy? Why isn't Gemara easy? And why isn't learning Torah easy? Why isn't it more accessible? The answer is growth mindset. If Torah were just easy, then you and I wouldn't put in the effort to it. We wouldn't work hard at it. We wouldn't grow in it. Torah is hard. Dafka to challenge our mindset. To say, are you willing to put in the effort? Are you willing to grow? Are you willing to persevere through the hard times in order to ultimately make yourself greater in the end? Rav Dessler points out that we can learn this from our avos and our imahos. Think about Avram Avinu, he says. Avram Avinu, his characteristic was one of chesed, one of kindness. And yet every single test of Avram Avinu required not kindness, but gvura, strength. Whether it was leaving his father's house, whether it was Akedas Yitzchak sacrificing his first son. Rav Dessler points out what makes Avram great is not by doing what's natural to him. It's not simply by following his ingrown capabilities and talents. But it's by taking his weaknesses. It's by taking the things that are hard from him and viewing those as opportunities for growth and opportunities for learning and opportunities for challenging himself. Lastly, I'll share with you a beautiful pasuk, and I'll share with you here because it's how we start Yom Kippur. And I want you to think about this imagery as we sit there at Kol Nidre. We start Kol Nidre by saying the pasuk, Or Zarua LaTzadik Uli Yishrei Lev Simcha. Think about the translation of that pasuk. Or Zarua LaTzadik. Zarua means that something is planted. When I plant a seed, do I see it? No, it's hidden underneath the ground. In other words, its potential is still unknown. It's not yet brought to fruition. Or Zarua LaTzadik, says David HaMelech in Tehillim, that the light, the greatness of a tzaddik is Zarua, it's hidden. In other words, you and I don't even know what we're capable of. We don't even know what our potential is. We don't even know what the ceiling on what we can accomplish is. It's Zarua, it's planted within every single one of us. Or Zarua LaTzadik, it's planted within us. But if we can nurture it, and fertilize it, and water it, and grow it over time by working on ourselves and seeking improvement and learning, that's how you become a tzaddik. Or Zarua LaTzadik, every single one of us have that light inside of us. The question is, are we going to allow it to grow? Are we going to apply the principles of a growth mindset to make ourselves better? To not worry about the end product, but to worry about the learning and the process that gets there along the way. I want to share with you lastly an unbelievable quote from Shlomo Freifeld, the great founder of the Shaar Yashuv Yeshiva and so much of Far Rockaway in the Five Towns. He writes, I think back in my own experiences to when I finally began to make something of my life. And I can identify the day. In those days, I was in yeshiva surrounded by a group of brilliant near geniuses. Right? People who were born geniuses. Great IQs. These were my friends, my associates, my role models. And I tried to pattern myself after them. And then one day I sat in my room and said to myself, I put my hands in my head in my hands and had a heart-to-heart talk with myself. I said to myself, you are not brilliant, I told myself. You are not a genius or a nur genius. You have to be who you are. You have to start your learning from the fundamentals and work your way up. There are no shortcuts for you. Believe me, he writes, the experience was painful. I felt as if a dagger had been plunged into me, but it was my liberation, my personal exodus. That day was the turning day in my life. Rav Freifeld looked at people who were brilliant geniuses around him. Someone with a fixed mindset would say, I'm not going to work hard. I'm simply going to fake it. I'm going to try to fit in with them because I don't want them to see that I'm really not as smart as they are. Now, Rav Freifeld did the opposite. He applied the principles of growth mindset. He says, you have to start learning the fundamentals, work your way up because there are no shortcuts for you. Rav Freifeld was not afraid of setbacks. He was not afraid of challenges. He was not afraid of adversity. He was not afraid of putting in the effort and the hard work that was going to take him to get there. And let me tell you, he accomplished so much more in his life than any of those brilliant near geniuses that he describes in his book. And so I shared with you, hopefully some insights from this incredible life-changing book, Mindset. It is not an exaggeration. It is not a hyperbole to say that this book, more than any other book I've read in recent memory, changed my entire paradigm. The entire way that I view myself, that I view the way that I learn, the way that I apply. In fact, my children are so sick of hearing about this book. It's like a running joke in our house that every single thing that happens in our house now, I say, mindset. My children are like nauseated by this principle because I've been talking about it so much. That's how much I believe in it. This is a class that I will promise you is money back guaranteed. Apply the principles of a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset, no matter what stage of life you are in, no matter what your age is, whether with your children, your grandchildren, yourself, in your business, in athletics, whatever the case might be, I promise you, this one shift will change your entire perspective. And ultimately, it will lead you to higher and even greater levels of success. Kisheva yipol tzadik v'kam, or zarua latzadik. It is embedded within us, the light of success. You and I just have to be willing to put in the hard work, to nurture it, and to water it, and to allow it to come above to fruition, ultimately bringing out our true potential and our true capacity. I want to thank everyone for joining and wish everyone a wonderful night. I'm sorry I have to run off rather quickly, but Behind the Bima starts in 12 minutes. Everyone's welcome to join that as well. Have a wonderful night.